Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritual warfare is a fact of the Christian life. If you are a believer, you are going to have problems because there is an enemy that is going to come against your soul. He's going to come in all different types of ways and forms and fashions to trip you up as a Christian. And the church has fallen away from this. And it's interesting, if you have your hymnals, turn to hymn number 571. We're not going to sing this, but I want to show you something that's interesting in our hymn. We don't sing this much anymore, number 571. Notice the hymns that speak to us as those who are soldiers of the cross. A soldier is one who fights. 571, stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Look at 572. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. 573, I am a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb. 574, Christian, dost thou see them? 75, soldier of Christ, arise, awake my soul. 576, stretch every nerve. Stand up, 577, my soul. Shake off your fears. What does it tell you about our hymnal and about Christians, our forefathers, understood the battles that we are going to face in this world? There are going to be many. And I want to tell you something by using a movie scene analogy. There is a movie called Magnificent Seven. And in that movie, there is one particular man who uses cards. And many people don't catch it right in the beginning, but in the beginning, there's a couple of guys that want to kill him and take him out to a place to kill him, and they're going to shoot him in a mine, but he won't go in the mine. So he pulls out a deck of cards, and they tell him, put those things away, we're going to kill you right here. And he says, just let me show you this, you'll get a hoot out of this trick. So he began showing this card trick, which you could immediately see both of these men who had their guns steadied on him were enamored by this card trick. And so when he says, pull a card, the guy pulls a card and he pulls this one out. He says, this wasn't your card? And he says, no, that wasn't my card. And he's getting ready to shoot him. He goes, wait a minute, you don't let me finish. And he reached over and kind of grabbed a card from behind this guy's ear. And he says, was this the card? And they were both focused on the card and didn't see the guy had a gun behind his back, which pulled it out and he shot both of them and walked away from that scene. Another scene in the movie, same type of thing. Told a guy, for a drink of your whiskey, I'll teach you how to shoot your gun. So he gave him a drink and he started giving him some lessons, said, take this card. Held it out there and the guy just kind of reached at it. He said, no, take it like you mean it, like your life depended on it. And he went after that card. He was really concentrated on that card. And as he reached for the card, the guy pulled the gun out and put it right on his head. And he said, you see, never really was about the card. That analogy is how Satan works. It never really was about the card, but you got all distracted about the card. And then the reality of the matter, what it was really about, it brought you down. I think as Christians, we have got to be discerning in this area. That it wasn't about these things. There's something beyond this. We get all worked up about homosexuality. Understanding, it's a sin, it's an abomination of the Lord. But it's deeper than that. It's a destruction of the image of Christ and His church. It's a destruction of the marriage relationship. It has a deeper focus than what most people look at. Well, I have rights. I have liberty. If I want to express this, I want to do this. It wasn't about that. That's a distraction. Satan is a master of distractions to get you off of the main issues. We can fight and we can lament and we can have all kinds of problems in the church about things that are of no value. Whether we have pews or whether we have chairs or whether the pulpit is this wide or this wide or this wide. Irrelevant. And we can focus on that distraction and not and miss then the main purpose of the gospel. We can focus on doing things in the community. which in and of themselves are good things. And we can focus on that and miss the main point is the gospel of Christ. And we do what we do because Christ has redeemed us. It's the good news. A husband treats his wife the way that he does, the way that he ought to, according to Scripture, because this is what the Lord calls him to, and this then manifests Christ in the church. Not just because, well, if I treat her nice, you know, the saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So I try to make her happy. You missed the point. Wasn't about that. Got caught up in the cards. You missed the main point. There is a spiritual battle that is going on even right now. Satan and his minions are constantly striving to hinder the church in its work. And Satan doesn't care if you come to a place that's called the church. He didn't care at all about that. He doesn't want you believing the truth. He doesn't want the truth proclaimed. He doesn't want the Word of God opened up where the people are hearing the text of Scripture. He doesn't want that. He didn't care if you go to some place that says, oh, hey, you're a good person, and don't worry, God's going to save everybody because God loves everybody just alike. And you walk away thinking, hey, you know, I've put a few shekels in the offering tray. I'm good. I'm fine. And you're not. You're under the wrath and condemnation of God. And you have it even within the church. You start talking about sin. You start talking about hell. You start talking about the wrath of God. People get all nervous. Well, I don't like you to talk about love. There ain't love. You see, you understand something. The backdrop. Love makes no understanding. We don't understand love apart from wrath. That we deserve God's wrath, God loved us in this way, to rescue us from His wrath. Let's not lose, beloved, focus of the main things. And we get off on the forms and the circumstances and not the elements, the main things. Looking at Acts chapter 13, notice this sorcerer, this false prophet, the Jew named Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. But Sergius Paulus, it said he's an intelligent man, he called in for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear God's word. Tells you something about Saul and Barnabas. They were those that were proclaiming God's word. So as he called them in, there's this sorcerer, Elymas, so his name is translated. He, what it says here, he withstood them. He stood against them. He barred the doors, as it were. He would not, he brought resistance to them as they proclaimed the word. That's what Satan always does. Satan is one who brings resistance to the word of God. Paul calls him son of the devil. Jesus said in John 8, you do the works of your father, the devil. He was a liar, a murderer from the beginning, and abides not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So it is here with the sons of the devil. They're doing the work of their father, the devil, in resisting the ministry of the word. No matter where you go, you proclaim the word and you proclaim it openly, you will have resistors of the word. That was amazing. I see it at funerals. I see it at weddings. I see it in different times in worship services. People resisting the proclamation of the word. This is what Elymas does. And Paul called him a man who was full of all deceit. He was all fraud. He was a deceiver, a liar, fraudulent individual. He was a son of the devil, an enemy of all righteousness. This begins to define for us what the world is. Those that dwell in darkness are those that are liars, they're fraud, they're resistant to the truth, they are a son of the devil, they resist righteousness at every turn. Think of our country. It's everywhere. Every turn, there is resistance to the truth of God's word. They're full of all deceit. Now, we read from Acts chapter 16, it's an interesting one also, that here, this young girl had a spirit of divination. And she was proclaiming that these men proclaimed the way of salvation. Not a way, but the way. Definite article is used in the Greek text there. The way of salvation. What was the point? To get people to follow her. She spoke the truth right there. That these men are the servants of the Most High God and are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. And Paul became annoyed because he knew the tactic. Error and truth mixed together. And he says, he was agitated, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, not to the girl. The girl was possessed by a demon. Paul directly addresses the demon in her. And he says, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Spiritual warfare. Problems, difficulties as servants of the Most High God. People of the cross. Soldiers of the cross. Paul wants the church at Ephesus to understand this, that there is going to be a battle. And beloved, you've got to know this. You cannot be ignorant of Satan's devices. If you are ignorant of Satan's devices, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices, he told the church. How many today would be ignorant of Satan's devices? We are created as people that worship, all of us. Every individual is an individual that must worship. It's not a question of whether or not you worship. It's a question of whether you worship the true and living God or an idol. That's the question. That's Romans 1. You are either worshiping the Creator or you're worshiping the creature. And you demonstrate that, how you live your life, what you are worshiping. So it makes sense, doesn't it? That Satan is going to come, and he's going to come with regards to religious services. Some aspect of worship, he is going to come. You find it in all of the cults that you read about in Scripture themselves. Your little snake symbol that we have on the medical insignia today, that was a worshipful cult in the New Testament. Paul speaks about that, where they would gather together and come into a building in a certain area and let snakes crawl on them, because it has reference to a god that could heal that was symbolized by a snake. There's always some kind of a religious connotation to it. Worship. Why? We're created that way. Every ideology, every philosophy, every high and lofty thing that sets itself against the knowledge of God. Speaking about human nature, we're created in a certain way with certain desires. It's not rocket science, is it? Throw this in front of them. Throw it in front of them and they'll give in to the temptation. It'll be too much for them. And it'll bring them down. Sexual things, violence, pleasure. That's the heart of it, isn't it? Doesn't that reach down to the heart of almost every one of us? We all love these things. So throw it at them and deceive them. And let them be confused about the issues because they're focused on these things. It never was about the cards. We can't be ignorant. We can stand against the wiles of the devil. We can stand. But we stand in the strength of the Lord. Look at the text this morning. Ephesians 6, just a couple of verses. Finally, when Paul comes to the word finally, it's the conclusion of the matter. It's the end of the writing. He concludes his letter to the Ephesians with warning them about the spiritual warfare. And he says, finally, my brethren. Adelphos, that's a term of endearment. I'm one of you. We are those that are united by faith in Jesus Christ, and we dwell under His righteousness. We're going to fight the battle. We are going to fight the good fight. Paul said in Thessalonians that he was hindered by Satan. We went into going to Macedonia. Satan hindered us from going there. Constantly coming against the gospel. And so we need to be people that are strong in the Lord. Not in our own strength. We have no strength of ourselves to resist the devil. We stand in the strength and in the might of the Lord, and we stand by faith. When you stand in the strength of the Lord, you are leaning on the promises of God. You are grabbing hold of God's promise. You are appropriating them in your life. That's how you stand firm, you stand fast in the Lord, is by believing the promises of God. Well, did you know that you can lose your salvation? God says, I can't. There's nothing that can ever separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Get behind me, Satan. That's standing in the strength of the Lord. You're believing His Word. You're believing His promises. You're understanding His promises. You're appropriating them. You're applying them in your life. Satan will come with Scripture. And people will say, well, he's a Scripture twister. Well, he speaks the Scripture, but he misapplies it. He misapplies the teaching of Scripture. You know, hey, take him up to the pinnacle of the temple, cast yourself down, for it is written. You know, the one who loves you, he'll gird you up unless you dash your foot against a stone. His angels will take charge over you. He's misapplying the teaching of God's Word. Thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. So in that way, there is Scripture. Notice that he quotes the Scripture directly from the Old Testament, but he misapplies it. That's what Satan does. That's what the workers of iniquity do. And when you're strong in the Lord, you understand what the Scripture means by what it says. It's not just quoting Scripture. It's understanding what it means by what it says. If you do not understand what it means by what it says, and it's, hey, beloved, it's not what does this text mean to you. It's irrelevant what it means to you. It's what does this text mean? Then the question is, how does it apply to my life? It doesn't have multiple meanings. If you come to the text and you read one thing and you say, well, I think this means this, and I say, I think it means this, we both are not right. It doesn't mean two different things. It doesn't mean three different things. It doesn't mean five different things. It means one thing. That may be applied in our lives in different ways, but it doesn't have multiple meanings. So the getting at the text of Scripture and the meaning is the essence of the matter. It's even as Solomon said, in all of your getting, get understanding, get wisdom. Because if you don't understand it, you can't apply it. So be strong in the Lord. Be strong in His power. Be strong in His might. He's able to make you stand. You're leaning on Him. And how do you resist the devil? With the promises of God. You resist him with the truth. You stand fast in the faith, the Christian faith, the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. That's how you resist the devil. And he flees from you. The greatest example is Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus doing battle with Satan. It's exactly what Jesus does. It is written. It is written. It is written. Four times he uses, it is written. That is how we must stand against the wiles of the devil. That's how we stand in the strength of the Lord. And in the power of His might. The ability of the Lord. This is the power that created all things. This is the power that spoke in the universe, leapt into existence. This is the power that has created angels, has created men, has created all the wondrous creatures. Even as we read in Psalm 104, the innumerable teeming things of the sea. This is the power that's created. The power of God is able to make you stand. This is the power that separated the Red Sea. This is the power that caused the River Jordan to be separated so that Elisha could walk over on dry ground. This is the power that holds the galaxies together, that upholds the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all things are so in His hand. That's the power by which we stand. The power and strength and might of the Lord. So Paul says this in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Use an aorist tense, which means it's something of a past action with a continuing result. You keep on putting on the full armor of God since the full armor of God has been put on you at salvation. Paul uses a similar phrase in Romans 13. Since you have put on Christ, put him on. He's been put on us at justification. Put on Christ in sanctification. In your daily living, keep on walking by the truth in Christ. Put him on. Walk by faith. Trust his word. That's how you walk by faith. You believe his promise. You believe what he says. And if he says that you can stand against the wiles of the devil, you can stand. And you can stand by faith. And you stand in the strength of his might, declaring and believing his word. Put on the whole armor. It's the panoply. No doubt the Apostle Paul was in a Roman prison, is looking at a Roman guard, and he's seeing all of the aspects of the armor that is protecting this soldier. And as he goes out to battle and what he's using, there are seven weapons that he speaks about. Five are the defensive weapons. Two are the offensive weapons. But every aspect of his body is prepared to go out to battle. And so spiritually, the Holy Spirit dealing with the Apostle Paul, here he is writing the same spiritual analogy of us putting on the full armor of God. And how we are to be dressed, how we are to be ready for battle. And he says, that you may be able. Beloved, if you don't have the mindset of putting these things on daily and walking in the strength of the Lord, understanding that your salvation is in Christ, understanding that your days are numbered, but they're numbered by the Lord, and so you have a service and you will not die until your service on earth is done, strengthens you for the battle. No one could just snatch you off this earth. This is in God's ordination. He has ordained it. And you walk in this way. If you don't, you won't stand. You'll be a casualty. I'm not saying that you'll lose your salvation. But you'll be one who is a closed mouth Christian, which is disobedience to the Lord. We are not to be closed mouth. We're to be big mouths in that way. We are to speak the things of the Lord. We are to proclaim the good news of salvation. Paul, when he was told by the Lord Jesus to go into the city and keep preaching, he says, go in and don't keep silent. You find here later on in Ephesians 6 that he says that I must open my mouth boldly as I ought speak the gospel. Some of you haven't said one whit to anybody in months or years about the gospel. Why not? What are you afraid of? Well, I don't know how to defend myself. Shame on you. You've been given the weapons of warfare. You're in the battle. It's inevitable. Are you a casualty or are you just in the way? Get involved in the Christian race. Get involved in the warfare. Fight the good fight of faith. Tell people about Jesus. Well, they might not like me. So what? They might say bad things about me. Yeah? So we don't say anything because they might say something negative about me. Get over yourself. That's a distraction, isn't it? That's the card. Because you think it's all about you. It's not about you. It's about him. Open your mouth about the gospel and don't stop speaking. Tell him about Jesus. Tell him about the judgment to come. This is what we're called. That's what a Christian soldier does. He fights. He wars. You know, when you love people, you're willing to go to battle, aren't you? Now you use tact, you use wisdom. But you've got to speak. You've got to tell people who are perishing about the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a friend in Sioux Falls who was telling me that He had a friend who was 55 years old. Actually, one of the guys that he worked with died of a heart attack. 55. Fell over dead. And his lament was that he didn't tell him enough about Jesus. That's how we grieve, isn't it? We don't tell them enough about Jesus. So we're standing at the graveside of a friend or a family member who we were too afraid to say something about Jesus because they might be angry with us. They might not like us. We might not get invited to Thanksgiving dinner. And then you grieve because you say, I never told them about Jesus. And I wonder, did they believe? Were they believers? Were they trusting in the Lord? I never said anything. God uses His people and He tells us to keep speaking. Stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles are the methods of Satan. The methods of Satan. We have given in this country to more of medical and psychology than anything else. Medical doctors, nurses, good thing. It's a great help. They're not God. When your time comes to die, no doctor in this world can help you. No medicine is going to keep you alive. And doctors are going to make mistakes. Nurses are going to make mistakes. They're not God. They're not infallible. We elevate them in this country as if they are God. If they are the be-all and the end-all to life, and they're not. It is a great blessing to have someone be able to diagnose something going on with my body and make a cure, do a surgery. It's a great thing. Praise the Lord for that. But sometimes they operate on the wrong things. Sometimes they misdiagnose. Sometimes you get the wrong medication. Sometimes the medication kills you. They're not God. They're practicing physicians. Now, most of them doing the best they can. Learning, growing, understanding the relationship of the body and medication. But they're not God. We have an epidemic in our world now. The coronavirus. Everybody's afraid of this now. Don't shake hands. Don't get in large groups. Don't cough. Don't breathe. Don't do anything anymore. Now, I'm not advocating running foolishly into things. But our strength, our help is in the name of the Lord our God. It's not in anything else. It's in the name of the Lord our God. Another tactic from Satan to get us all distracted on this and we forget about the main thing. Who cares if somebody dies from coronavirus if they haven't heard the gospel? The methods of the devil. He comes to us in the human psychology. He comes to you ladies in feminism. Oh yeah. You don't need that buffoon telling you what to do. You do what you want to do, girl. You go, girl. You don't have to listen to him. Who does he think he is? The head of the family? Who appointed you head? Sound familiar? Feel a battle there? Ladies? How about you men? Being prophet, priest, and king in your home. I don't have time. I'm too busy working. I'm providing an income so that I can feed my family. I don't have time for this spiritual thing and open up the Bible. Repent. Repent of your sin and your arrogance for living contrary to God's word, from revolting against the King of the universe. Repent. That's simple. Repent. Who cares if you give your kids everything in the world and they lose their souls because you didn't bring them to Jesus? You didn't talk about Jesus. You didn't explain the gospel. You didn't tell them being a church member is not going to save you. Christ alone saves you. You didn't tell them. You failed as a parent. You failed as a father. Who likes to hear that? I know none of you men like to hear that. Is it the truth? We don't like to hear the truth. Truth stings. It's interesting though, isn't it? If you ever have cuts on your hand and you put salt in your wounds, what happens? It stings. And then you look at it later and you say, hey, that thing's healing up. Living in California, going into the ocean, swimming in the ocean, getting cuts and things on your fingers, going in, and it's amazing, almost transformative when you come out of what that salt water does to those cuts. It begins the healing. True stings. It's good for us. The only thing to do is to confess it and to repent, because that's where Satan is going to work. He's going to work on your kids. He's going to have your kids who are in schools that are telling them, you know what an alternative lifestyle is? It's having two daddies instead of a mommy and a daddy. And it's okay to have that because it's just a different style of living. It's an alternative lifestyle. There's nothing wrong with that. What a benefit. You have two daddies. And the government is all too happy to print books that say such things to indoctrinate your children. So we have a responsibility, don't we? What's my kid learning? What's he been? What's been being taught to him? The methods of Satan. Satan comes by increments. Allergy shots are like that. I don't get the full dosage every time I go in there to get my allergy shots. It builds up over time. It inoculates you. They tell me that in 3.5 years, you will be immune to all the things that you're allergic to in Nebraska. Great. Why can't we do it today? It takes time. So, go back into the 60s. You talk about homosexuality. It was in the closet. And then slowly but surely, it began showing up on television, TV shows, movies, gay pride parade, all the other things, waving the flag, all this other stuff, and people laugh at it now in our culture. Rather than it being an abomination to the Lord, it's laughed at. Satan works by inoculation. He had David number the armies of Israel. He enticed him to do so. He's a wordsmith, a wordcraft. He came to Eve and he says, didn't God give you everything in the garden? He hasn't given you everything. Don't you feel left out? Don't you just feel like he doesn't love you? He's withheld things from you. That's just like God, isn't it? As much as he has, and he has to withhold. I can't believe it. And did he say that if you eat this, you're going to die? Come on. It's going to make you wise. You don't need him anymore. You can judge for yourself between right and wrong, truth and error. Go ahead, take and eat. It's pretty good. It's good looking. It's good for the sight. I bet it tastes great. Go ahead, take a bite. And then after you're done, give it to your husband, because I'm sure he's hungry too. Subtleties. God gave them all the trees of the garden except this one. But I feel like I'm left out. The Lord tells us to marry only in the Lord. But it's so hard. There's not as many good-looking girls in the church. There's not as many handsome young guys in the church. I think I'll run off to this. I won't marry them. But I'll just have a little fun. Distraction. Tactic of Satan. The wrestling match that goes on is just that. We wrestle. Wrestling is a hard sport. Wrestling is contact. Wrestling is exerting all of your energy as someone is exerting energy against you. No one goes out on the wrestling mat and just lies down. It is a fight from the moment that the whistle is blown. And it takes lots of energy. And so it is spiritually. We are wrestling against principalities, against powers, against certain highness of the demonic realm that shows itself everywhere in the stratosphere of the culture of our world. The whole world lies under the wicked one, his sway, his domination, his control, his influence. All of the philosophy and psychology and all the ideologies of this world are under the domination of Satan. Be careful, beloved. Don't get distracted about these things that are not the main thing, the main issue. Be on your guard. Tear them down with the gospel. He says the wrestling match doesn't happen against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities, powers, rulers, and high of the darkness of this age. The darkness of this age. Listen to this. Pull these out. These are the names of Satan. Satan is actually used 52 times in Scripture. Lucifer, ruler of the demons, god of this world, devil, accuser, prince of the power of the air, roaring lion, serpent, dragon, adversary, tempter, the anointed cherub that covers, Beelzebub, Belial, the wicked one. Strategy. Comes in different ways and different forms, doesn't he? He is an angel, he masquerades as an angel of light. So that means he's going to come with some truth and he's going to distort it in some way to confuse your mind. Discernment isn't about whether it's right or wrong. It's about those things that are right and those that are almost right. Discernment is having the ability to discern that. You know, you put a little poison in a glass, it doesn't look like there's poison in there, does it? Smells kind of different, smells kind of strange. Something's wrong. I could smell something's wrong, but I can't see it. So you take a drink anyway. And one little drop will kill you. So this power, this fight, this darkness, this ruler is going to come against us continually. Spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And it's going to be a fight. War the battle. Learn the word. Get on your knees. Be a person of prayer. Be faithful in worship. Be faithful in fellowship. Build up, edify, encourage other believers. Strengthen one another with the fear of the Lord, with the word of the Lord, with faith in Jesus Christ. Strengthen one another. You see a brother or sister that's down? Go alongside. Encourage them. Build them up. Use the gifts God has given you. Protect one another. Watch over one another. Isn't that an army? An army moves that way. When one falls in battle, you pick him up. You carry him off the battle. Well, he's heavy. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. Pick him up. Run with him. Help him. That's what we're called to do in the spiritual battle. Beloved, it is a wrestling match, and it doesn't stop. It goes on until the day that you drop dead and you are with the Lord. In this world is spiritual battle every single day. It's on the radio, it's on the TV, it's on the internet, it's in the schools, it's in the markets, it's everywhere. It's a spiritual battle that's going on. There is an ideology, a worldview, a philosophy of man that is going on everywhere in this world. And you have got to know the strategy of the wicked one so you don't become a casualty. Get in the Word. Be a person of prayer. Be faithful in worship. Be faithful when we have the Lord's Supper. Be faithful in fellowshipping with other believers throughout the week. Gather together. Come to Bible studies. Pray with one another. Minister to each other. Build each other up. And this is going to fortify the church as we stand in the might of the Lord. This is what the Lord calls us to. This is what the Lord prepares us for. Get dressed, beloved. Get on your gear. Get into the spiritual battle. And do it because the cross of Christ goes on before us. We are guaranteed the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we pray?